Welcome back to Tri-States After the Buzzer, part of the Dubuque Area Sports Podcasting Network. As always, this is everybody's favorite coach, Coach Manaman, and this season of basketball coverage would not be possible if it was not for our great local sponsors, Nolan Weber Insurance through American Family Insurance, Extreme Strength and Sports Performance, Tricor Insurance Company, Kramer Pest Control, Bar Raising Fitness, Foley Distributing, and Advance Wellness Center. If you are not following us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. You can find me on X at Coach Manaman. If you are a podcast person, like, subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts can be heard. Now stick around as we hear from one of our great local sponsors, and then we welcome in our guest. Nolan Weber Insurance through American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor. Contact Nolan or a member of his crew at 563-258-5467 to request a quote. You can also find this highly reviewed agent on Facebook by searching Nolan Weber Insurance. Joining us via the Nolan Weber Insurance through American Family Insurance hotline is the new Bobcat coach, and I am wearing red for this Bobcat episode, is Ben Wilson. Ben, Coach Wilson, welcome to Tri-States After the Buzzer.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate the support here.
Congratulations on the new role, and I say new role because you have been involved with the Bobcat program for a long time. Tell us about your journey in basketball and with the Bobcat program before you landed this head coaching gig.
Yeah, so I've been coaching high school basketball for a long time. I coached mostly at the sophomore level and then moved up to assistant varsity for a few years. And then my last year with the varsity program, we qualified for the state tournament, had a lot of success. And then when Wayne Cusick resigned, I resigned with him as well. I had an opportunity then to coach my middle school daughter for a couple of years, and that was a lot of fun. And now I'm in a position where, she's going to be in high school next year, and it just seemed like a really great opportunity to get back into coaching since they had an opening as – for the head varsity coach. I just thought it was a great time to jump back in.
Coach Wilson and I were joking. I connected with him last year, and Ben and I go way back. We went to high school together, and he was coaching middle school girls basketball last year, and I was officiating middle school girls. And we just found out that after we are finished recording this podcast, he is going to go watch his daughter. I'm going to officiate his daughter. So hopefully there's no social media post about Coach Wilson losing it at a middle school basketball game. You talked a little bit about what drew you to the program, timing and everything. What is it about the Bobcat program that got you involved first? You went away, but now ultimately you're coming back to the program.
The one thing that really drew me to the program initially was, specifically, it was Wayne Cusick. I mean, he was the head coach at the time. He talked me into coming out here. He just wanted to build something, and it was a little bit different and unique here in terms of us being able to control the kids who were coming in. You know, we have one middle school that feeds into the one high school. And he just saw this as a great opportunity to build something great here. After 1 year, he resigned and Dennis Garrity took over, but then Dennis actually brought Q back on board as the assistant, and I was their sophomore coach for a long time. And that vision that Wayne had initially, and then, you know, Dennis kind of continued along the same lines, I mean, everything that we saw, we continued to build here. And we built this program with consistency. We had multiple trips to the state tournament. We had this expectation of winning. And it was really fun to be part of that from the ground up. And so when this opportunity presented itself to become the head coach, you know, I've seen what this program has been over the years and what we became. Just to have an opportunity to continue down that path was something I just couldn't turn down at that.
You mentioned the Bobcat program is about winning. I joke with assistant principal Rich Hatcher all the time that they have all this money, they have all these projects out there. They might have to add a wing to the school for all these championships they're winning. We think of basketball going there and winning one back in 2000. We think of football winning one recently, currently playing for one at the time of this recording. And baseball has two in a row. Let's talk about what would be your favorite moment on the sideline as a Bobcat basketball coach.
My favorite moment is still the 2012 state championship game. It did end in a loss for us in double overtime. We lost to Mount Pleasant by four. But the excitement in the building is something that I've never been a part of before and haven't been part of something quite that exciting since. There's no way to replicate the environment that you have in the state championship game. I remember when we were in the locker room getting ready to go, it felt like an earthquake in the locker room under the stands. We realized, all the coaches and the kids, that they had opened the gates to the arena. It brought all these emotions out that you didn't know you had. And it was a great game, and it would have been great to win, but that's the kind of excitement that you just can't find anywhere else outside of coaching.
Being an avid sports fan and an avid high school fan and being a former Bobcat coach, I really enjoy watching new coaches come into a program, put their spin on it, put their take on it, but also keep traditions that have worked and been successful in the past. I'm curious, when you came in and you were named new Bobcat head coach, are you inheriting a group of coaches on the coaching staff, or were you able to bring in your own coaches to the coaching staff?
So a little bit of both. So I inherited a couple of coaches. Hunter Westhoff is the assistant varsity coach. He played for me when he was in high school. He was part of that 2012 state runner-up team. And then after he got done with college, he started coaching with us. And then Sean Berger is a freshman coach. He has been a freshman coach for the last 5 or 6 years. He also played for me when he was in high school here. So these are guys who grew up in the program. They've played in this system, and they've had the opportunity to coach for a while. So I inherited them. And then, you know, I had a couple other positions, a new freshman position and a new sophomore position that I had to hire. So kind of blend in some new guys with some guys who have been here for a long time.
I'm really struggling with this podcast, Coach, because you and I go way back.
We do.
And I want to call you Ben, but for the listeners, I have to call you Coach Wilson. And I keep stumbling over my words calling you Ben, but I'm going to try to get you right with Coach Wilson the rest of the podcast. You are inheriting a Bobcat team who went 5-9 on the Valley side of the Mississippi Valley Conference, 10-13 overall in the bottom third of the conference, and you are having to replace two of your top three leading scorers. Do the Bobcats have any returning all-state, all-district, or all-conference players that will be suiting up out in Epworth this year?
We do. We have one right away. Canyon Bright is going to be a pretty good player. He was a very good player last year as a junior, and he has had a tremendous summer. You know, at this point last year, I think he had every intention of just finishing his high school career and having that be done, that be it. He has decided that he wants to play college basketball now, and he has dedicated himself to the weight room, to summer workouts, to his AAU team, and he has improved tremendously. He was a really good player last year. The nice thing about him, too, is that he hasn't just done it for himself. He's understood that in basketball, you need to have teammates there to help you. And so he has been a great leader all summer, making sure that the other guys get in the gym, are upbeat about the program, and trying to improve across the board so we can have a successful season. I mean, he's going to be a really tough player for teams to stop this year in the league.
You mentioned Cannon Bright. He's coming off a season where he averaged just under 14 points a game. Looks like he's got a great long-range jumper. He was at 48% from beyond the three-point line. Do the Bobcats have any returning starters from last year's group?
He's the only one that we returned that started consistently. A couple other guys, Jackson Skurdage started a little bit, Jake Goodman started a little bit, Colin McDermott started a little bit, but none of them played a significant role on the basketball team last year. So there are going to be a lot of new faces out on the court with us this year, beyond Canyon. So a lot of people that no one has ever seen before, no one's ever heard of, and that's okay. At some point, you've got to put some new faces out there.
That's the great thing about high school sports. It's not like the professionals where if you struggle in the backcourt, you sign a free agent, or college where you have a bad game, you pick up somebody from the transfer portal and they're starting for you next week. Talk about some of those guys who you mentioned that we haven't seen or we saw just a little bit of last year. What do they bring to the table? What type of offense are we going to see from the Bobcats without giving away too much? Because we don't want to tip off your first game opponent, have them listen to this, and they already have you scouted.
Right. I mean, we have some players who can really get up and down and move in transitions. Jake Goodman he's primed for a really good year. He's been a player who's played a significant role with the varsity team the last couple of years. But he's been kind of plagued by injuries. I mean, anyone who follows our baseball team knows that how good he is, how good of an athlete. He's been a two-time first-team All-State, second baseman, leadoff hitter for the baseball team. He's just a tremendous athlete. But he's had some knee issues in the past and some other injuries that were just nagging. And, you know, he had trouble in basketball. He really did physically have trouble keeping up. He feels really good right now. His body is in a really good spot, so I think he's primed to have a very good year. Luke Callahan is a kid that no one knows of. He couldn't get himself on the floor last year. He really, really dedicated himself to the game this summer. He put in a tremendous amount of time in the gym, getting up a ton of shots, turned himself into an absolute gym rat. I mean, he's a kid who can run in transition. He can make shots. I think you're going to see a lot of fast-paced offense. We're going to get up and down the floor, and we have a lot of guys who can shoot the ball. And then after them, I mean, we have some other guys, too, that put in a ton of time over the summer, got on the gun. We got a new shooting machine this year, just put in a ton of time. And I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at how exciting and upbeat our offense is.
I'm looking at it, and the thing that I like about JT Goodman, I don't like the fact that he's injured a lot or he has a lot of nagging injuries, but the reason he gets those injuries is because he's always on the floor for the ball, or he's always going in to try to get that tip up on a rebound opportunity. He's always stepping in front, trying to take those charges. I mean, his injuries are coming from how hard he plays, and it also feeds off to the rest of the team as well.
It does. I mean, he does play very hard. He's a kid. He's a smart kid too. He understands the game. He's not afraid to do all the little things. He'll do anything we ask him to do. He's one of those chameleon players who you can kind of morph into any role, and he can fill that niche. He can handle the ball if you need to. You know, he can defend any spot on the floor. He just does so many different things that go unnoticed, and he does get himself injured occasionally, but you don't want to take that away from a kid either. Then they're not as effective, so I'd rather continue to see him just play hard, work hard, and if you get injured, you get injured. It's part of the game. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It takes me back to my years when I was coaching seventh grade football, and it was their first time tackling when I coached, and kids were so afraid to get hurt that the kids that were afraid to get hurt and that weren't aggressive were the kids that got hurt because it was always on their mind. But the kids giving it their all, going right at it, really stayed healthy throughout the year. Now, Coach, you are the new head man in charge, and I'm sure you're loving all of the meetings and all of the paperwork and all of the stuff that does not go along with coaching, that goes along with being the head of a varsity program. You also have to keep an eye on all of the teams in the Bobcat program. Are there any promising players in the program that we may not see on the varsity squad this year? Maybe they're a freshman and they're going to do big things at the sophomore level, or maybe they're a sophomore, but they're pigeonholed behind a position that already has three great shooting forwards at the varsity level.
Yeah, we had three kids that actually played with our varsity team this fall in the Clark League. They had great summers. They showed up to everything. We just kind of wanted to see what they would look like against the varsity competition. Logan Plumley is a point guard, a sophomore, a strong kid. He will be on the sophomore team this year. Great place for him to develop. But he looked really good playing against varsity players this fall. Drew Horsfall is another kid who played with our varsity team. A sophomore, strong kid. He can shoot it, just smart and works hard. And then we have a freshman, Braden Taney, who played with the varsity. He looks really good. He's long. He can shoot it, understands the game, and just another gym rat. I mean, he is always getting up more shots. He wants to come in, wants me to come in early, open the gym for him. I think those are some kids in the next couple of years that you're going to see some big things out here at Western Dubuque.
What's different about my background as a high school baseball coach, and then I coach middle school, everything in baseball, you can't coach your guys in games outside of the season, but you're able to coach the guys during the off season or during that summer season. What went well? What really impressed you with that Clark League the guys played in that you thought we really have something to build on moving forward to the 2023 and 24 season?
So at the Clark League, we actually didn't play that in the summer. That was played in the fall. So I didn't actually get to coach them in the Clark League, but I went up and watched them every week. And what really went well is the guys communicated on both ends of the floor. You're going to see some guys who just understand the game and are willing to work together with each other. And that's something that's hard to coach. Some kids have it and some don't. And when they don't have it, it's constantly trying to be instilled in them that they have to communicate with each other. And it was really impressive to watch them go out there and work together as a cohesive unit. Out there in the Clark League. And we had some kids, some of those younger kids who might not be on the varsity floor. To see them come together like that was really impressive. I was very happy with that.
Have you watched any film from any of the games last year? Or have you watched all of the games from last year?
I went to most of the games, and I have watched quite a bit of film from last year.
Same question. What did you see in MVC play that you thought went well? And then let's look at the glass half full. And what are some struggles that you saw last year that we really need to start day one to make those improvements so we don't have those same struggles again in 2023 and 2024?
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching their games from last year, one thing that really stood out to me is how we compete hard. You know, they expect to win against every team. They defended really well, multiple positions, against some of the best teams in the league. Coach Westhoff really had that defense humming last year, and they looked really, really solid on that end of the floor. That kept them in some games where they honestly probably didn't have any business staying competitive. They looked really good in those games because of that defense. On the other end, you could tell right away that they really struggled to shoot the ball. And as you know, in basketball, if you don't make shots, you don't get to win. You got to score more than the other team. So that was something that we had as a point of emphasis in the offseason. We knew we had to be a better shot-making team this coming season if we wanted to get over the hump and win some of those close games that they just couldn't win last year. You know, the defense can keep you in games, but ultimately at the end of the game, you have to be able to make shots, hit free throws, and take care of the basketball. And they just lack that shot-making ability that we put as a point of emphasis this summer.
It's interesting how basketball is so complex, but yet such an easy sport. So complex with all the different offenses, different type of defensive sets, but ultimately it comes down to putting the ball in the bucket. Last question, and we're going to hit that walkaway three, and then the buzzer is going to get us out of this podcast. You inherited a team, 10-13 overall, and you are losing a lot of senior leadership. Now, some might say, well, it's not a bad thing. They were under 500. And some might say, well, it's a good thing they were under 500. What are your expectations going into this season? When we talk next year, what do you hope that the Bobcats did this year that we can reflect on and look at as a positive?
You know, I think some big things. We want to have a winning record in the MVC, in our conference, and this conference is so deep and so talented, but we still expect to win. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We expect to have that winning record. You know, we want to go to the state tournament. That's something that every single year, we want to put ourselves in the best position we can to get to the state tournament. You know, outside of that, I feel like those big things kind of take care of themselves. If you go out and just focus on one game at a time, one possession at a time, you only worry about the things that you can immediately control. Those big picture items like which kids ended up on the all-conference team and what their scoring averages were, that stuff all takes care of itself. We'll worry about that later. So, you know, we want to be plus 500 in the league, and we want to try to get to the state tournament. That's the big thing. So hopefully next year when we're talking at this point before the season starts, we can talk about that state tournament run that we had from the year before.
Coach, you got good things in place. Hunter Westhoff, one of my favorite people that I think I've ever met. What a great guy. And players listening to this and families listening to this, Coach Wilson is 100% right. I am 42 years old. And when I get together with my buddies and we talk about high school baseball, we don't remember who made all conference. We don't remember who made all state. We don't remember who hit the most home runs, but we do remember that state tournament run and how much fun we had working together and playing together. Coach Wilson, thanks for joining me on Tri-States After the Buzzer. Best of luck to you, your players, your program, and your coaches on this 2023-2024 season.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Tri-States After the Buzzer, part of the Dubuque Area Sports Podcasting Network. If you have not already, give us a follow on social media, Facebook and Instagram, Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify.